Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer now. And find out what He's got in store for us. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into Your Word, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive to this, Your Word, Father, and to what You have for us this evening, so that we can walk stronger in faith, stronger in spirit, and closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to You. Be with us now, Father, throughout this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be here in the sixth chapter, the book of Romans. We're going to be talking about baptism. But first, there's something that God gave me this evening to share with you that will help you to understand some things that's going on today and that's going on in our churches. And one of them is baptism that we're going to be dealing with. But some things we really need to know and to understand is, when we are studying God's Word, is to know who is speaking and to whom He is speaking to, what time dispensation He is speaking to. Because you see, there are things in the Word of God that is not for you and I today. That was right for a different time, dispensation, and the people of that day. And there is so much being taught, as I told you before, contrary to the Word of God. And the main reason is because of those things. They don't, as they read, and most of them are really not right with God, they may believe they are. But that don't make it so. Because you see, we have a lot of them out there today believing everything is all right with them. And really, they're walking in darkness. And they don't have the understanding they need. And it's because of those several things I was just telling you about. And knowing who is speaking and to whom he is speaking to. And mainly, what time dispensation is being spoken about. Here in verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, the main thing here is, you know, shall we consider or continue in sin that grace may abound? That was the question that Paul was asking here. And if sin generates grace, then shouldn't we encourage sin in order to cause more grace to be granted? God forbid. You know, we need to perish the thought, may it never be. Don't even think that way. And this expression of unthinkable horror occurs in Paul's epistles more than 60 times. We'll find this used in one way or another. He used if whenever the thought suggested is too repugnant to entertain, or in other words, to really think about. Sin is singular in this verse. And throughout this chapter, it refers to the sin nature. That nature that we were born with. And we are born with that because of Adam and Eve and their sin there in the Garden of Eden. And that brought sin upon all of mankind. Now, we know that from where we were studying the Old Testament also. Because as we come to Genesis, we read all about that. But now, you see, as I was telling you in the beginning about knowing to whom they are talking, and especially to what time dispensation, today, in too many of our churches, and not just one denomination, but a lot of our denominational churches, in a way too many, that are misteaching baptism and the things they use, those reasons they use it for the purpose of getting people to follow. You see, one, and the first thing Satan creeping into the churches got changed was baptism. And one of the things they are using is they use the last couple of verses in the book of Matthew, because they will tell you, well, Jesus sent his disciples out telling them to baptize in the way we do, so we know that's the right way. No. It was at the time Jesus done it. And here is the verses used. I'm going to start with verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now this is our Lord Jesus talking. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. They use that in order to change the baptism. But you see, the reason Jesus was sending the disciples out with that commandment was because he was still here on this earth. He had not died and been resurrected. In other words, he had not yet became our sacrifice. He was still working with them and working as close with the law as he could. And he was sending them mainly out to baptize as John baptized, because that was for remission of sin. They would repent to the one that was baptizing them, proclaiming themselves to be sinners, and then they would baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which at that time was right. But you see, that changed after the Lord died and became our sacrifice and the one that paid the price for you and I. things then was becoming new. And that's why we have what we call the New Testament. Because the New Testament is in the blood of Jesus. It is not under the Mosaic law. So now we are baptized for a completely different reason. We're not baptized anymore for repentance. We do that. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ for repentance. Now, you know, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You see the difference in being baptized? We went to him and repented. We go to Jesus for repentance, not baptism. We're baptized to put Christ on and to bring him into our lives and us to walk in him. And that's why we are baptized. Now, we do have to fulfill that plan of salvation. That plan of salvation covers several things. And we know that because when Peter come out of the upper room preaching the gospel to a group of people that just days before he had been hiding from. Because now, under the New Testament that is made by the blood of Jesus and covered by his blood, that's when Peter and them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There in that upper room. There was 120 in that upper room, and they all received the Holy Spirit. And he come out of there preaching. He preached one of the greatest sermons, which we studied, we read it. But when he finished with that, and they asked him, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? Then here in 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you see, this repent means that we all go through a change of mind. And for several reasons, being baptized should not be joined with for the remission of sins. Because that's not what it's for anymore. To teach baptism, regeneration, first the context, of this passage demonstrates that only the repentance is connected with the removal of sin at salvation. But whosoever shall call shall be saved. Peter's next recorded sermon states only repent that your sins may be blotted out. And we know this because that's why we go to the Lord and confess to him that we are a sinner. And you see, throughout the New Testament, we do not include water baptism in the salvation experience. So we know that this verse more clearly reads, repent for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift, which is the Holy Spirit. But they have taken and twisted so much of that around today in our churches and leading people down the wrong pathway, and they are not understanding when they were baptized that it did not get the work done because they were baptized wrong and with the wrong belief in it. Now, 4, let us know what happens when we are buried or baptized with him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Because you see, we've been buried with him. We've put on his death and his burial with him. Now we are to walk in newness of life. And we should live our everyday lives manifesting the resurrection life and free from sin's control. You see the difference in why we are to be baptized in his name, just as we were told in Acts 2:38. Now, and you see, we repent first. We're forgiven of our sins. Then we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We take on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we begin walking in a new life with a new mind, because we have a different mindset now. 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. See what he's telling us there? Coming out of that baptism and all, we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. He's speaking about baptism there. Plantness. And we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There's not a little change there. There is a big change for us. Six, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. How did that happen? How did we get crucified with him? Through baptism. Putting on his death. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So all these churches is telling you, oh, everybody has to sin. Everybody sins every day. No, you don't. Not if you are truly a born again child of the living God. Because for one, the Holy Spirit's not going to let you do it. Now, seven. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You see, the believer now has been delivered from the guilt and penalty of sin and is set free to serve Christ. You see what all of this about baptism has brought to us and for you and I? Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, you see, we're to live with him. Nine, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Ten, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He's not going to keep dying just because you committed that same old sin again, over and over and over. No. Said he died once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, take into account. Calculate. The believer is to calculate all the facts as to his identification with Christ and his separation from sin. Then live accordingly. We are to live our lives accordingly to us being separated from it. Now, 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. In other words, stop letting. The believer is to stop letting sin have mastery over his life. It no longer should have any strength over you at all. Because then when you become that born-again child of God, you have that Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, and that sin is not strong enough, push them aside. Now, You see, those that are claiming to be Christian, that are claiming to be God's children, that's going out here and sinning and doing things that they should not be doing, they've never been. They have never finished that plan of salvation rightly and sincerely. There's been something amiss with it. There's several things it could be, but most of it today is they started actually out wrong because they believed that when they go to Jesus and call for him, that they get everything all at one time. We found out in Acts, coming through Acts, that that don't always work. Yes, it does happen at times for some, but very, very few. Most of us, we have to grow in order to become that born-again child of God. We can be a child of God to an extent as we learn. We're on the road. But most are still needing to be fed by milk. In other words, you're not able yet to accept the strong points of God's word, his will, and his way. And we have to grow to the point to where we are strong enough and have enough knowledge and our faith strong enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You see, now, when you have come all through repentance in to Jesus, and you've been baptized, put him on, you see, you're growing. Now, and now, our instruments, everything about us now, are the instruments for God to use righteousness and for his work. Now, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You see, you're no longer under the law. That ended when Christ resurrected. When God resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ, everything changed. The law was fulfilled. The church and all was set up new. Because now, instead of being controlled by law, it is controlled and covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. You see, he's letting you not know. 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Because you see, once you have become that servant of Almighty God and walking in righteousness, you're walking with eternal life, not death. Eternal life. 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What doctrine is being delivered to you? The doctrine of God's word. The doctrine of this holy book. And we are told straight out that if we come preaching any other doctrine, we're cursed. So when someone asks us, well, what doctrine do you teach? I teach the apostles' doctrine. Now, we've got a denomination out here that's going by being the apostles' doctrine. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we are the apostles of the Lord and his word. What the apostles themselves taught, that was given to them by the Holy Spirit. 18. Being then made free from sin, been made what? Free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We've been made free of that sin. Now we're the servants of righteousness, his righteousness, the Lord God. 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your member servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. We are to walk in righteousness and come to the point of holiness. And that can only be done by going through the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with him and with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and by obeying and walking and living in his word, and doing whatever we are called upon by the Lord our God to do. Now, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You see, and we were. 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And that means we've been separated from God. We don't live in sin anymore if we are a child of God. Now, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Now, here's the last verse in chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a chapter chapter 6 is. All of you that's been out here to some of these denominational churches, you don't get no messages like that, especially from this chapter 6 of the book of Romans. You're not that taught that about baptism. And everyone, before they are taught or took and baptized, needs to be told what is happening to them at that time. That they are putting on the Lord Jesus. They are being buried with him. They're putting on his death and being buried with him. As they come up out of that water, they are being raised in his resurrection. And from then on, they are to walk in newness of life and mind. and begin to grow. Think about what we have covered now. And God willing, good morning, we're going to be back in to the book of John. We're about to get through those four Gospels. And over the next few days, we hope to make it through those. Because we've got a lot more scripture to cover. So we have covered an awful lot of God's Word. And I hope and I hold you in my prayer, praying that you have really gotten something good out of these studies. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I thank you for a time that we come together into your word so that we can learn and have something to hold us together so that we can all work as one, reaching out to the world to help the Spirit, Father, and to be used by him in spreading this gospel everywhere we can reach. Now, Father, Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for peace to them. But more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours that's filled with evil this day and time because, Father, of those that are sitting in our government in high places that are evil and bringing all this evil upon the people of this land. I pray, Father, that the Spirit works with all of your children to come together in prayer in one mind, one accord, and that is to get them out of office and to replace them with those that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this country. And Father, I pray that they will work with us to bring our government back to the foundation in which this land was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those that are with me in this ministry. I pray, Father, that I never speak anything that is not true. That all that comes through me, Father, is guided and spoken by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, Father, be with us through this night. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And may the Holy Spirit work with our families to help to change the mind of those that are walking in darkness and bring them to the point of knowing that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives so that they too can make heaven their home. Father, this is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a great night, and God bless.